Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. You know, one of the most difficult things to face as a parent is to know that your child is sick, and that there's absolutely nothing you can do to fix the problem. And I'm not discounting this situation with mothers. And I've interviewed a lot of moms over this on this program who faced health problems with their children. But I can especially relate to how a father looks at this situation, because men inherently, they want to fix things that are wrong and to make them right. We want to bear the burden if it means our family's okay. That's just wired in us. One of the most important things we can do, both mothers and fathers, is learn how to battle the devil on a spiritual level. Yes, he is attacking us or our family in the natural while all this is happening, but the spiritual always, always overcomes the natural when we rest in Christ. Amen? And I've got experiences I could share to prove that out. But my guest today had to face this type of battle himself. He had to find a way to fight for his son, who was born with not one, but two heart defects, a failing heart valves and a rapid pulse called SVT. The doctors had not faced a situation like this with these two issues at the same time in such a young infant. And over the course of 18 months, he had to endure six open heart surgeries. Now, he authored a book describing his son's ordeal about how his faith also grew exceedingly strong through this experience, titled "For This Child I Have Prayed, Six Heart Surgeries in 18 Months." To discuss his walk of faith and how his faith grew stronger through this ordeal, help me welcome to the program, R.L. Shaver. Mr. Shaver, thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to join us today. I do appreciate it.
Pastor Bob, I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to get a chance to share my story and God's story and what he did through me. This is exciting stuff.
Amen. Now, the first question I always start with, other than that brief information I just shared, can you tell us in your own words, who is R.L. Shaver?
Well, I am a... First of all, I'm a Christ follower, and I walk that journey humbly every day. I'm a husband, I'm a dad of two boys, and I am a data nerd in all senses of the word. So, and I've also tried my hand at authoring, which really just ends up being a like entrepreneurship. So,
amen, amen. Now, in the opening of your book, mm-hmm. you say something that I've been sharing for years. Sometimes people are reluctant to go to the doctors because they believe it will show lack of faith on their part. But you said, quote, "God gives us the power to make money. He also gives the doctors insight and wisdom to heal." Amen. Just like a person is called into ministry, I believe doctors and lawyers and plumbers and electricians, all of them, they're all called into those fields. And I appreciate you putting that right in there at the beginning of your book. I mean, that really impacted me right off the bat.
Good, good. Yeah. You know, one of those things is I'm all for saying, hey, I'm going to trust God in everything. And if God's telling you, hey, you know, don't go to the doctor. And I've heard a couple stories where God's healed people and they said, don't go to the surgery. I'm going to heal you by you taking this step of faith. And that's good. But, you know, you have to understand we're at war. We're at war for our health. We're at war for our children. We're at war for the kingdom. And you can't do things lackadaisically. You need to have a purpose and a plan, you know?
Amen. Amen. Now, you grew up as a Christian, but something happened at age 15 that made you take it seriously. Can you explain that for us?
Yeah. So I grew up as a Christian. I went forward when I was six, grew up in a Baptist church. So they did altar calls every Sunday. And, but I didn't, nothing really changed in my life. You know, I tried to learn how to be popular. Actually I picked up cussing because I thought it was going to make me cool. You know, when you're 10 years old, like, oh yeah, I'll start using swear words. And Isaiah, if you're listening to this, don't start using swear words. It doesn't help. So I had started hanging out with some people who got into witchcraft, when I was in the seventh and eighth grade. and they were practicing and goofing around with it. And I was interested in the power side of it. So I was sitting there watching them. And then there was a girl in my class, and she was a Christian. And, you know, I'd got to know she was a Christian. She was a really nice girl, just really quiet. And when she was watching this stuff, I figured she'd be like super scared. And instead she wasn't. She was like, you know, I'm not scared of that. I was like, why are you not scared of that? And she's like, because God protects me. I understand that God's with me and he's not going to let some silly demon bother me. And that impacted me. You know, growing up in the church and stuff, I was like, wow, there is some power in this. And so that the beginning of that summer, I just said, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to follow God and, you know, be what I thought was a Christian. And that was the worst. It was probably one of the worst summers of my life, because trying to do things in your own power and not understanding what Christianity is about, thinking it's about being a good person or doing things right or not swearing. It's none of those. And it was at Amen. The end of the summer when I was so eat up with all this, trying to do things on my own that, you know, I woke up early the day of first day of football practice. My dad was like, you should be running. You should be out there running. And I never did. So I woke up early and ran and was wearing a pair of black boots that dad had bought me for whatever reason. And then I wore white socks underneath them. Well, they were cheap boots, so they stained socks. And I came home and dad's always like, don't stain your socks. You know, keep your socks clean, keep your clothes clean, all that stuff. And so I was like, the guilt hit me hard. I was like, I got to clean these socks. And it was almost obsessive. It wasn't healthy. You know, and so I went into the sink and I was trying to clean them and I was using soap and it wouldn't come out. It was stained. And I was like, oh God. And then the Holy Spirit spoke up and said, you know what? These socks are like your soul. You can't do this on your own, RL. And it was that point that I hit my knees and said, you know, God, I'm yours. You know, unfortunately I took all that, those bad habits of thinking I still need to be Christian, not really realizing that same faith of that sacrifice of Jesus that healed me also made me righteous right then. And it was about relationship. Instead, I tried a long time to try to figure things out on my own. So,
Amen. Share with us about your crab apple tree experience, because I found that to be very insightful. I believe our listeners will gain a lot from it.
Yeah. So, you know, because of this habit of thinking I had to do things on my own, Christianity actually got too tough for me because I wasn't doing it right. The very thing that had redeemed me, Jesus Christ, in his sacrifice, I just didn't even get that I needed to use him in everything. And so like when I came off to college, I was just like, I wandered away from my faith and was just like, I don't know about any of this stuff anymore. And it was actually, my last year of college, I got involved with Amway. And some of the business leaders, actually the guy who mentored me in the book, his story impacted me because he grew up in a really rough household with drug use and alcohol abuse and all kinds of stuff. And his life got radically changed by Jesus. And I saw a man who was a faith and purpose and power. And I was like, this guy is awesome. I want to know what he knows. And so I started trying to be a Christian again. I started wanting to follow God again. So I remember struggling. I remember trying to do things right. And I remember that March, I was actually at a conference and I was like, God, I want to move forward with my life. I want to move forward with my business and all this stuff. And I felt like the Holy Spirit kept saying every conference, RL, listen, the number one thing is not learning to be powerful. The number one thing is not whatever. It's about a relationship with me. And I just didn't want to submit to that relationship. You know what I mean? So I finally submitted to that relationship that March and, you know, was trying to honor God and I'd fallen into lust. I was, you know, looked at porn, whatever, you know, I think all men struggle with it or almost all men struggle with it. And, while God had used, his victory and to help me lose weight, I hadn't quite understood he had that victory in every area. So I was out that night and the voice of condemnation for falling into sin was so loud in my life that I was walking around, I was listening to some music and, that voice was just like, you deserve to die. You should, you know, you should just kill yourself. You're not worth it, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I learned to fight that voice of condemnation with my weight loss, but I hadn't learned how demonic it was. And I wondered, is this God's voice? Is this God telling me that I'm not worth it? And it finally just got so much. It was dark. It was Magic Island in Charleston, which is like this, like, it's not really an island, you know, it's just this park with a bunch of sidewalks and there's like a sand pit and it's right next to the river and it's right underneath an interstate bridge, which is crazy. But it's 10 o'clock in Charleston, West Virginia, and Charleston's a small city. So there was nobody around. And I finally just was like, there's nobody around. And I was just, the anxiety built up so much that I was just like, God, listen, if this is your voice and you really feel like I'm worthy of death, just kill me right now. Take me out. I'm just do it. I love you. I can't do this. And it was wild because like at that moment there was just silence. I don't even know if a truck or maybe a truck went by in the distance over the bridge, you know, but I was sitting there and I remember the brightness of one of the lights and there was just silence. The voice of condemnation was gone. The anxiety in my heart was gone, all this stuff. And then I hadn't even moved. I'd stopped walking. And so I start, nothing's going on. Nothing's happening. This voice of condemnation's gone. I hear nothing. I'm like, well, I guess this wasn't God. And I'll start walking forward. I took a couple, you know, I started walking forward a little further and I came upon this crabapple tree. And I heard this small voice say, you know, grab a leaf off this crabapple tree. And I did. And I looked at it and it was eaten up halfway with insects and stuff like that. And I heard that same small voice say, you know, and it, hold it up to the light. So I held it up to the light and the light shone through all the holes. And the I felt that the small voice say, hey, you know, it's these areas in this leaf that are empty, that have nothing in them, that have been destroyed and hurt, that my light shines through the most, you know? And I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me that, hey, listen, it's these in these broken areas that I shine the most. It's these areas that you fall down that I shine the most. And that to me was, it was hugely impactful to understand that God's grace and God's love and that this journey is not about my doing. It's about working with God in it.
Amen. You know? Amen. That was awesome. I love that story. I was like, oh, I got to ask him to tell this story. That was so impactful. But let's lay the groundwork for the faith battle you were about to face. I mean, I read about you being tasked with choosing a name for your son, right? Yeah. Tell us about that and how you chose the name Samuel.
So the funny thing is, you know, I had been praying and wanting a wife since I was six. You know, I was one of those weird kids. I wanted to be married. I wanted to have a family. And apparently I'm not the only one. I've talked to other people who want the same thing. But my single life, I did not enjoy, and it was a big struggle. So when I finally found Stephanie and got married, I was incredibly grateful that God had finally fulfilled my childhood dream. And we got pregnant right away. Stephanie was a little bit older than me. I'm not going to tell her age because if I tell how much
man.
Older.
Smart man.
Yeah. She's eternally 29.
So is my wife.
Exactly. Exactly. It's nice robbing the cradle. Right. Yeah. I wanted to honor God because I was so grateful. And Stephanie was actually ordained. So when we first got married, I started spending, I hadn't had a good reading habit. I hadn't had a good devotional time habit where I was digging into God every single morning. And I started that because I was like, if I'm going to lead Stephanie, well, I have to do this, you know? So I started every single morning reading, and I just was so enamored with God and his love and his provision that I was like, you know what, God, I know you say you have a special name for Samuel or for my son. He wasn't Samuel at the time. In your book of life, a special name. And I would love to honor you by calling him that same name. You know, if you don't want to, no big deal, you know? So I prayed about it. And my wife wasn't super thrilled with it because, well, let's just say God didn't answer until he was born. And the night he was born, Stephanie was still she was kind of ticked. Why haven't you picked a name for this kid yet? And when he was born, I was sitting there thinking, I was like, well, I might name him Ronald III. I might name him David, because David's one of my favorite biblical characters. And when the nurse handed me my son, I felt this warmth in my spirit, and I felt in my spirit, not heard, but felt in my spirit, the name Samuel. And it was just this incredible joy and warmth, and just something I've not really felt before. And I felt joy and warmth, but not like this. And I was like, God, well, listen, you know, I'd kind of, you know, I was thinking about these other names. And when I thought about like Ronald or David or anything else, that warmth and left me, and it left me with the feeling of like emptiness and like coldness and not goodness. And I was like, and kind of the pause, and actually the guy who had mentored me through this struggle, he'd actually lost his son. His firstborn son was stillborn, and they had named him Samuel. And I was like, God, I do not want to make this man grieve by naming my son Samuel. And, you know, I don't want to hurt him anymore. And I felt like when I thought about that, of not naming him Samuel once again, that joy left. And I was like, okay, God, I trust you. Let's name him Samuel. So I named him Samuel, and everybody's loved it. You know, which, and it's funny because like the name is attached to for this child. I've prayed, you know, with his mom, Hannah, in the Bible. So it was kind of cool to, you know, that God's put that together.
Amen. Amen. Now, once Samuel was born, how long was it before the doctors told you something was wrong?
So he was wheezing. It was kind of a cute, like little baby wheeze, and we thought it was just normal. The nurses told us, nope, he's got fluid on his lungs. So that, this first couple of days, you know, in the hospital, he stayed 7 days because he had jaundice and he had, you know, these conditions. But I had been praying the whole time, he's going to be okay. You know, I was like, God, I've been praying, he's going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay. I'm going to trust in faith that everything's going to be good, you know? Later in the story, we found it wasn't.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And during this time, your business partner, Jake, he was also a spiritual mentor for you as well. How was his faith able to help your faith when your son had to have his first heart surgery?
You know, one of the things I wanted to do in writing my book was to honor him, because if it wasn't for his faith, if it wasn't for him, I don't know where I would be. I would be cast about at sea. You know, I needed somebody to come in under my wing and step up and say, here's how you fight, you know, because you're right. We as men, we're warriors. We have it built into who we are. And it's my personal belief, and I love being on a Christian podcast because I can just tell you my personal beliefs, and you know, they are, but God says he is a warrior. The Lord is his name. And we're created in his image. So that warrior spirit is who we are. So when it comes to like wanting to fight and wanting to wage war and wanting to battle, whether it be in the military or in, you know, in business or in spiritual stuff, that stuff's built into us. But the Lord also says that he trains our fingers for battle and our arms for war. And so we need people to guide us. So Jake's faith taught me. I mean, I texted him, you know, at 2.5 months old, Samuel turned blue. Stephanie knew something was wrong. She'd taken him to the doctor, and I was like, he's going to be fine. And part of me didn't want her going back in the hospital with him if we didn't need to, because that her being away was really tough. You know, I still had to work. I still had my older son, Isaiah, and he was 1.5 hours away in Morgantown. You know, I had so much other stuff. It's like her taking time in the hospital. I couldn't take it. I didn't have enough sick time from work. I couldn't do all that. And, I missed my wife, you know? And, on top of that, like, I was just like, everything's going to be okay. We prayed about it. If I can't do it, God's going to take care of it. Well, she took him to the doctor. She came back in. She told me, the doctor's telling me I should take him down to Children's. And she walked back in the living room, and his lips had started to turn blue. And all I really remembered was that Steph was screaming for the living room. He's blue, because I was still in bed. And we hopped in the car and took him to the hospital. They ended up having to send the Life Flight team on foot, because it's actually today's like, it's kind of like today. It's misty and a little bit of snow on the ground and kind of cold. And the Life Flight team won't fly. They're not like you military guys. They won't fly in bad weather. You know what I mean? If it's not, you know, calm weather, they don't fly, which is fine. You know, they're taking medical people. So they drove 45 minutes, which turned into an hour and a 15, and took them to the hospital. But when we got there, they told us, hey, your son's going to have open heart surgery. And to make matters worse, I was like, was this going to fix things? And they're like, no, this is going to get him to 6 months, hopefully 6 months, 9 months, somewhere in there. So he's big enough so we can do something actually corrective. And I was like, what in the world are you doing, God? I've been standing in faith for this. What's going on? And, you know, I was still praying against that didn't happen. And, you know, I texted Jake and I was like, Jake, Seaman's going to have open heart surgery. He's 2.5 months old. He knew how old he was, I'm telling you guys. But he texted me back and he's like, all right, I'll listen. First of all, he gave me a bunch of verses. He gave me Psalm 91, you know, which talks about God preserving us. And Isaiah is what he gave me, the verse, you know, God heals all of our diseases. But he also gave me three different books. And he gave me Storming the Martians, Power of a Praying Parent, Redeemed, by I think Kenneth Hagin, and The Wonderful Name of Jesus by Kenyon. And, you know, I grabbed those books and started reading through them. And then I already had this kind of background of understanding that God heals and who he is. But I mean, they were great stuff for me to continue to say, hey, this, I need all this information pounding into me, because it would be one thing if it was my health, because it's like, mm-hmm. You know, it's me, I can take it, but it's my 2.5 month old son.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this great interview with R.L. Shaver. As we've been discussing his book, For This Child I've Prayed, 6 Heart Surgeries in 18 Months, it's going into detail about the struggle and the near life-ending situations that their son Samuel was going through when he was just brand newborn up to about age of 18 months. 6 heart surgeries. And folks, you want to come back for the conclusion. This actually became a 3-part interview, so you need to come back for the next 2 episodes to get the complete story. In the meantime, I encourage you to go down to the show notes and order his book right down there. Just click the link, order his book, For This Child I've Prayed, 6 Heart Surgeries in 18 Months. It is so inspiring. Like I said, I receive many books because of the interviews that I do. This book, I read all the way through. I mean, it is just awesome. And it keeps you going. It really does. It's a very, very well-written book. Now, no matter what situation you're facing, faith brought them through. The Word brought them through. Yes, they used medical technology, but guess who gave these medical people the technology and the wisdom and the skill to do this stuff? It all came from God. Amen? So there's nothing wrong with going to the doctors. There's nothing wrong with seeking medical advice, but you still have to stay rooted and grounded in the Word, in faith, in order to receive the results. Amen? Now, you do not want to miss this next episode, because he's going to go into detail about some of these surgeries and the miraculous surgeries that took place, and how people were on duty that would not normally be on duty, but they were that night. And it's just so awe-inspiring to see how God was moving, and the deeper connection of faith that R.L. Shaver and his family now have with God. He's able to minister to others. And I highly encourage you, go down the show notes, order his book today, let him minister to you as well. Don't forget to come back for this next episode. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.